there's the talent, and then there's hard work, and there's the people you meet along the way, you know. And sometimes I think, looking back, and I hope this is what's going to happen to my youngest, is that people you meet along the way and coaches are almost more important than the level that you play.
Welcome to the Super Sports Mom Podcast, a place for all moms of many and mighty athletes to get support and insights into the world of sports. This is your place to learn, grow, and laugh. I am a sports dietitian, former elite athlete, and newbie sports mom, inviting you to adventure together. This podcast is sponsored by Eat This for Performance, the home of champions. Hello and welcome to SSM Podcast 19. I'm your host, Pearl Narenberg, and today we are going to be speaking with Julie Boyer, who is a local emergency medical doctor and, of course, a super sports mom. She's the mom of three athletic children and is a bit of a local hockey legend herself, if I might add. On this podcast, we not only celebrate her last day as the head of emergency department at one of our Montreal area hospitals, so congratulations to Julie on her tremendous career so far in this next step for her, but we also celebrate the wisdom of Julie, a family, and her family, who embodies exactly the family I think of when I created this SSM podcast. Athletes themselves, so mom and dad, involved parents and coaches and respectful parents, and amazing athletic children. So today we talk very respectfully about what Julie has learned in her years as a parent and a coach, and one thing you can do that she wished she had done more of. In today's winning culture, we are tasked with figuring out what truly is a win, because it's not always what we see on the scoreboard. I can say this for real, because in my 3 years of being coached by a master, and I'll plug my coach from Cornell University now, Melody Davidson, who went on after she coached me to be a legend in the hockey world, winning more than one gold medal at the Olympics, and coaching her team to that success. The scoreboard while we were at Cornell rarely reflected the enriching experience that I went through. So we weren't always winning, but I was learning. Oh my goodness. Now, years later, I am truly in debt to the lessons, to my coach, for the lessons I learned from her. Coach taught me one valuable lesson that I think both me and Julie realize that we need to share with people. And so we're talking about this today, but that is to speak up more. Speak up if you want someone to know what it is that you're thinking, and be respectful, of course, and know that, you know, people do need to hear what you're saying in a very respectful way. Now, before I dive into this insightful interview with Julie, I do want to speak up and let you know that here at Eat This for Performance, we have been working to make sports nutrition decisions very simple and clear for you. And this Wednesday, we'll be launching our next mini course in our series of mini courses, and it's called Brilliant Vitamin D, and I encourage you to go grab it. A winning mentality can start with what you put in your body, and the research on vitamin D is showing very strong evidence that you need to know about vitamin D. And if you are not supplementing, you may be wanting to supplement, so do it right. Go to et4p.com/vitamin-D-course and go get that valuable lesson. All right, I want you to hear from Julie. So let's now hear from our super sports mom, Julie Boyer. Okay, I have Julie here, and welcome to the SSM podcast. It's really good to have you in office with me. This happens pretty rarely because we're a lot of the times speaking with moms all over. So welcome into the office.
Thank you, Pearl. It's really nice to be here.
We were just having a great chat about all the hockey history that we have in the office right now, and that's where I'd love to start with you. I'd really love you to tell our audience who you are, what you're about, and why you are such a tremendous super hockey mom. I had to say it out the gates because the history is tremendous. Like, okay, grandma was playing hockey, yeah. So take us back to your roots in hockey.
All right, so I have a really great hockey family. Hockey is very important for us. So, as I was saying, my mom was playing hockey when she was a little girl. She was playing, of course, not organized hockey, but she'd play pond hockey outside with her cousins. So I think it all started then. And my dad didn't play organized hockey until he was in his 20s, but he's 75 years old now. He still plays at least twice a week. And I have two brothers who played hockey. I started playing hockey when I was 8 years old. I was one of the first girls to play hockey in my area. And I still play. So I'm 45 now and I still play.
Oh, and she's good because I've played against her. So I can vouch for like the talent here. It's defense, right? And yeah. I've often been trying to go score a goal and get stopped by this lady. So yeah, pretty good hockey background, actually.
Thank you. And so I have three kids, and of course it was logical to start my kids in hockey. I'm fortunate too to have a husband who doesn't play hockey, but loves everything about it. He knows all the NHL players and he was always very interested in it, but unfortunately, he's not a player and he's really sad he's not a player. So yeah, that's our history. And I have two brothers. I have nephews who've played hockey, nephews still playing hockey. I have a little baby nephew who's 2 years old and started skating.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a great
Maybe hockey, it's just in the blood. That's it.
I think it is. Honestly, I think it is. He sleeps with his hockey stick. It's very funny. So yeah, this is our family history a bit, yeah.
And so you have three children that have played through the ranks. So your oldest is kind of at the end of youth hockey and you think he's going to continue playing for quite some time.
Yeah, he loves hockey. He really loves hockey.
So. Your middle child is playing elite level at prep school in the U.S. And your youngest is like in it. Novice, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you mentioned that you're also the coaching hockey. Yeah. Tell me about that a little bit. How did you get to be the coach?
I think, as a hockey mom or a hockey parent, I think it's important to get involved. And I think it's important also to get involved when you want good things to happen. So what I mean by that is, I would say, unfortunately, people want to win almost at all costs, and sometimes you need parents to come and dial back this and be there for the kids to have fun. So, you know, I was always on the ice when my children started in pre-novice or mag, helping them learning to skate and learning to play with the puck, and that was natural for me to be on the ice with them. And then when it started getting competitive at novice, which is 7 and 8 years old, and you would think it's not very competitive, but unfortunately it is. Well, I think it was important to get involved to make sure that all the children would get to play and it would be fun. And I think we need a few parents there to bring everybody back on earth and say, this is for fun and kids have to have fun, you know?
So you're a pretty busy woman. You're an emergency doctor.
Yeah.
And you're also a coach. How do you make that work?
It's very hard, and that's why I'm an assistant coach, because okay. Unfortunately I work a lot of weekends working at emergency, so I can't be there all the time. So I never felt comfortable taking a team as a head coach, because I think the head coach should be there most of the time. Mm-hmm. But we have this year there's 4 assistant coaches. So if I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not, I'm not. And I'd like to be there all the time, but
Okay.
It's not always possible. So.
But for someone who wants to be involved, that's a good position, right?
Yeah, I think so. And you can learn a lot too. You can start as an assistant coach and you get to learn with the people there. But really, most parents and coaches learn with their children.
Mm-hmm.
So our head coach now in novice, his oldest is Adam. So he's not very much older and he's learning as the kids are learning. And that's something else that's important to remember as parents, hockey parents. You're sitting in the stands, your child is learning from this coach who's learning.
Yes.
So everybody's learning at the same time. Just like the referees. The yes. referees who are refereeing novice, they're just learning also. So I think that's important to remember.
Okay, so I can think of about 10 examples because I was a coach as well. That's actually, I think, how we first met. I coached in the organization where you grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
And I made a billion mistakes. If I could go, like, we could sit and pull a podcast of my mistakes. But because this podcast is about you, do you have any that come to mind, either as a coach or coaches that you saw that you kind of were like, nah, if you could go back in time for yourself or for that coach?
For sure. I always tell people, you know what, as a hockey parent, nobody can take away my opinions about what's going on. I don't always have to voice them, and I'm not always entitled to voice them, because really, if I'm sitting in the stands, I'm not putting all the hours that the coaches are putting out there. But I might have opinions. So yes, I've had opinions with my kids' coaches over the years. And I think the most important one, and my kids have played elite hockey, you know, their whole lives, but I still think that with younger children, and when I talk about younger children, I say at least 12 and under, that's still really young. I think you have to foster the love of the game and the getting better, and in order to get better, you have to play, and you have to play in all positions, and you have to play in all situations. So yes, I did have, you know, I wish I could tell some of those coaches, and I didn't at the time because, you know, I'm not the coach, I'm not going to take that decision, but to decide by the beginning of the season, these two players are the centers, and these four are the Ds, and these five are going to be on the power play, and these four are going to be on the penalty kill, I think that's a big mistake. And as an assistant coach, I've always tried to tell my head coaches that I disagreed with that kind of playing. Mm, but true. You know what? I coach my kids when they're really young. So I only coach them at novice and mag level. So it's easy for me to talk, you know. I did coach my daughter at spring hockey. So that's very elite hockey. But that was a bit different also. But still trying to, you know, give the kids the confidence to play in every situation.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest challenges of the coach is when you have that elite team where there's pressure from parents to win or to, you know, get that cup or that tournament championship. Yeah. And you know, though, that the kids just need the ice time. They need to develop. And that is probably always like pulling the coach one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that's really hard. And I think parents don't make it easy. And but you know, when you play in the regular season, so not spring hockey but regular hockey, the season is really long. There are a lot of games, and really I think what every coach's purpose or goal should be that I'm bringing all my players to be better by the time we get to the playoffs, which is really not what's important. But what I mean is, whether you win or lose in September has no consequence at the end of the year. Not that much anyways, you know?
Yeah.
But if you always sit the same child or the same players on the bench and they never get power play time all season long, they lose confidence. And then if you try to put them in that situation at one point and they've never played it, they're not going to do well, and then everybody's going to say, oh, well, you know, see, we knew he wasn't going to be good enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really sad. And I think that at least until peewee, so at least until bantam, I mean, so 12 years old and older and younger, you should be in all these situations, even if you're playing whatever, peewee, double A.
Yeah.
It's still it's learning.
Because is winning that one game so important to everybody that you're going to squash a child's confidence?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what would you say then about, you know, we talk on this podcast, like what would you say to your younger self about, you know, winning, and what is that, you know, if you could go back, would you have had some words with your younger self?
With myself, you know what, I think I would be maybe more vocal with the coaches and try, but not vocal in a negative way, so just maybe giving my opinion a bit more. So I was always very reserved and not talking much, because I always felt that coaches already had a lot of pressure from parents, and I didn't want to get involved too much. So maybe I would have given my opinion a bit more. I think maybe that would have been okay while being respectful and saying, you know, you're the coach, but, you know, maybe we should do it like this. But it's very hard. I did, there's a certification for coaching. Mm-hmm. So I did it 3 or 4 years ago. I think I did the introduction to competition with Hockey Quebec. And there was a lot of instructors who were there giving the class. It's a, whatever, 8-hour class or 16 hours, I forget. And we're meeting some great coaches who have a lot of experience. Who I remember there was a guy there who used to organize the rookie camps for the Montreal Canadiens. And he's a minor hockey coach and he's very involved. And he's involved in the sport étude programs in high school. And he's giving this talk about exactly what we're talking about, saying that all the kids should play all the position, all the situations, at least until peewee. I mean, I'm not just taking this out of my hat, you know, heard this.
Yeah.
And the guy, he's done it all. He's coached, he's been there, you know. And all the wannabe coaches in the room, they're like, yeah, nodding their heads. And then we go for lunch and I could hear them say, as if we're going to do that. And no, we're not listening. Yeah. So it's hard. Yeah. There's this culture behind our hockey now that you have to win, win, win. And it's kind of hard to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it's pervasive and it crushes, you know, people. And unfortunately, you kind of learn that by playing elite in a way. And it gives some people a license to run a younger youth organization like that. And so the training, I'm glad to hear at least that the message at the top is a good message. It's just now, can we get this, like doing stuff like this, I think sharing that message again is powerful. So more people hear that all over. So I know we could probably talk about the winning, losing thing quite a bit, but I also wanted to talk about another important message that we could have for, or your, at least your wisdom on this topic that is coming up for some, because in the spring, I know there are a lot of tryouts for some organizations and then as well into the end of the summer. So, you know, in terms of the hockey world, and what would you say, and this is for probably any sport though, but what would you say your experience has informed you on over the years with tryouts that you would advise us younger parents with kids coming in? Like how should we approach tryouts?
Tryouts is stressful for most parents, not always stressful for children, which is kind of funny because in my experience with my children, my oldest was never really stressed out by tryouts. He would just go out there and play, and we always told him, you know, play like when you go play pond hockey. So play as hard as you can, have fun, enjoy it, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. I was a stressed mom when he first started. So my oldest is 17 and he was first started because he really wanted to make Novice A his first year. He wasn't stressed out about it, but I knew he wanted to because his cousin was going to be Novice A and his friends would be Novice A. And I was very stressed out for him and he didn't make Novice A and he was really disappointed and I probably cried about it. And he spent a great season playing Novice B. It was a great season. It was fun. The coach was great. They won, they lost, you know, they played tournaments, they got better, but it was a great season.
He probably got to handle the puck a lot more than he would have.
Yes, exactly. So, and we had a lot of fun. So all I'm trying to say is tryouts are stressful, especially if your child is competitive, he wants to make this level and you don't know if it's going to happen. But what's important, I think, is that if he doesn't, it's okay. That's it. You can, I mean, for sure, you can be disappointed or your child would be disappointed, but it's okay. It's really simple like that. My daughter had problem 1 year and she was going to make this high level in peewee and she was cut and nobody understood why. And, you know, we're all stressed out. Anyway, she made the level a bit lower and it just didn't work out very well. She had played that level before. So it was peewee double B and she played peewee double B the previous season. Had a great season. And then the second season, now she's peewee double B. She got cut from peewee double A. and it just didn't work out for reasons that I will not discuss here because I don't think it's a good idea. But let's say it was conflicts with players on the team, and it became to a point.
Well, this
point
is the
where,
political piece too, which I hear so much about, and it's like, of course, it's sticky. You know, it's a part of our tryout situation as well. So many parents tell me about situations that happened due to politics. And so what was the end result with that?
Yeah, so by December, it became like she wasn't having fun playing anymore, but she's very proud, you know, so she wanted to stay in PUWB. Mm-hmm. And then we as parents had to take the decision of saying, this is not good for you. Mm-hmm. So we put her down to PUWC.
Yeah.
PUWC, you know, when she could have made PUWA, it was really hard on her ego. But again, she had a great season. It was a great team of coaches, a great team of kids. So what? She played PUWC that year, you know?
Yeah.
She had fun. She scored goals. She did great. And it didn't stunt her development.
Right.
So, you know what? It was stressful at the time for all the reasons why we had to bring her down. And she was unhappy about it. But really, when you look back, many years back...
Yeah.
It was the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But it was so hard for us to take that decision because, you know, you're like, it's not the right level. But really, she had a great season. She was able to go play school hockey the following year. She had a great season. You know, it was... So, it's okay.
Yeah. And it's okay to cry about it. That's where it's like we're moms, like that, you know, we have emotions.
Yeah.
You don't want your children to suffer. You don't want them to, you know, like you said, the ego is bruised. You don't want to see that. You don't want to see them down. You want to see them back up right away. But I was listening to a story about, I think it's Sean White, the big snowboarder.
Yeah.
Who he says every time he had the biggest wins, like in the Olympics being part of that, it was following a big, like, loss, and that loss is what helped shape him into like the champion mindset that he has and the fight that's in him. And so that's, you know, that those losses that we see, it's almost like you got to be like a bit not necessarily happy, but that realizing that there's a purpose to this.
Yeah, for sure. I think you become a player based on your experiences. And you know what? Some players started out in novice C and they become amazing players in midget, you know, mm-hmm. And that's fine. And, you know, there's the talent and then there's hard work and there's the people you meet along the way, you know. And sometimes I think looking back, and I hope this is what's going to happen to my youngest hockey player, is that people you meet along the way and coaches are almost more important than the level that you play.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play a lower level with a better coach, I think you're going to get better than if you play in a higher level with a coach who's not as stellar, let's say.
Yeah. So tell me, do you have a few qualities that you can define that makes to look for in a stellar coach? Yeah, like you're saying, just looking right here at the stellar coach, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think that a really good coach has the interest of the kids in mind. So it's not whatever happens to the team is not dictated to the parents, what the parents want or what the politics want or anything like that. So I think that a good coach has to be an advocate for his players. So that's one thing. And I think that a coach who has that attitude will see or think that all the kids have to play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. Even when the kids get older, you know, and a really good coach, and that's not easy. And I'm not sure if I was head coach of an elite team, I would know how to do that. But I think you can learn is that a really good coach will be able to find what is each player's what each player can bring to the team and can go and get that out of a player, and then the player knows their place on the team and they know also that they can bring something to the team, because there's always weaker players on every team.
Mm-hmm.
You have a team of 20 kids, not all 20 kids are great at everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a great hockey coach will find what each player can bring to the team.
Absolutely. So you're looking at being good at assessing personalities, talents that are not necessarily just goal scoring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I definitely, like, I had the privilege of having Melody Davidson as my coach, and she was the master at that. So I absorbed as much as I could about that style of coaching. And it was never about, our practices were never about doing wind sprints. They were never, like, the whole team was always involved in every part of the practice. And we did have power play units and this kind of special treatment that you fought to be on the first line or the starting line of the game. But there was this feeling that you created with the team that not one player was left behind, even the player that didn't dress in the stands. And I don't know how you do that.
I'm not sure I know either. But I wish that all my children would meet a coach like that. Mm-hmm. Like one day, mm-hmm. like for 1 year or 1 weekend, yeah. even in their lives, you know, that's yeah. really. And my oldest son now, he played school hockey, elite school hockey, and now he's in Sejep. He just plays regular house league hockey now because he has other interests and he's not thinking of playing hockey in university. But I wish for my daughter that she will meet a coach like this, you know. Yeah. And she might, maybe her coach this year is like that, but I'm not involved as much, so I don't know exactly, but that's really my biggest wish.
Yeah.
And for my youngest son, for sure, you know, to meet people like that along the way.
Amazing. Well, if you had to define, this is my last question for you, if you had to define what it is to be a super sports mom, one thing that comes to mind, you know, I know there's like probably 500 things, what would you say it is, and, you know, how could we show up better as moms?
I think patience is something that's really important. Patience for everything, basically. Just like I was saying before, you know, everybody's learning and in minor hockey. So patience about your own child. Maybe your own child is today at the game is not at his best, you know, and it's okay. Children will do that sometimes. You know, they can have a game where they're amazing and the next game they're not so amazing, and it's okay. It's going to come back. Or patience mm-hmm. at the coaches. Maybe the coaches will make mistakes during the game. It's possible. And patience at the referees and patience at all this. I think that's really important, and good things will happen. And so that's pretty much it.
I completely agree. And I know that it's something I've already started to have to build. I think you started a little bit when they're young. your patience expands and expands. And definitely what I see with the super sports moms, the lengths we go to bring kids to the arenas, the venues, tournaments. We didn't even talk about tournaments and all, like having three kids in tournaments. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So anyways, we'll have to have another conversation. I'm going to be saying this to every mom that comes on, because like just really happy to share with the world your wealth of wisdom. And I know we only scratched the surface. So really, like, just thank you for sharing that insight. We really dug into what we need to be looking at in coaches, which I think is helpful for a lot of people. And really fun to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
Thank you for listening to the Super Sports Mom podcast this time. My wish is that you feel more empowered than ever to live your dream sports life. If you get inspired from this message, amazing. Share it with a friend and pass that inspiration along. I can't wait to share the next adventure with you. See you next time. Hey, does getting the right food in front of you at the right time seem a little daunting sometimes? Well, a lot of times. You're not alone. And that is why here at Eat This for Performance, we are making people's lives easier by taking out all of the guesswork from performance eating for all of the situations you may be in. Eating out, eating in, at the grocery store, or just looking at that food down on your plate, wondering if that is the right thing to be eating. So we have something that we'd like to give you. That is our performance eating foods list. If you hop on over to et4p.com, you can grab our food list and start going right away at eating the performance foods that you want to eat. Once you have the food list, you'll be well on your way to digging into our four-part framework and really starting to become a confident athlete or a confident parent in your food selections. So have a look and definitely reach out to us if you have any questions whatsoever. We're here cheering you on as you eat for that top performance in sport and in life.